Good afternoon, everybody. It's 2:02 p.m. It's Wednesday. No, we're only on Tuesday. It feels like
Don't
a longer week,
us.
I think. Tuesday, October 8, 2019, we're gathered for the Legal Counsel update in the Board of County Commissioner Conference Room. Commissioner Fowler and Morgan are present with their legal team. Item number one is acceptance of bargain and sale deed for Joanne Nordstrom to Josephine County.
So you'll recall a couple weeks ago, we had an individual come to us who was unable to abate the nuisances that were present on her property at 1202 Lower Wolf Creek Road. She opted to sign the property over to the county, and we met with Ms. Nordstrom. She signed the bargain and sale deed, and now it's here for your signature.
If you need maps, there are a couple of maps that have been...
I've been to this property. Have you on your forestry tour?
I don't think so.
Oh, it was in Lightning.
Was it?
So we had agreed to take it, and this is just the official thing, so we just need to have a motion to accept at this time and signature today, or do you need to go to WBS?
Today would be great.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll make that motion.
I will make the second. So further discussion. So this property has previously been cleaned up by the county. Working with the homeowners, it's probably all the way back to needing cleaned up again at a level that I've never quite seen so much collection of metal.
Where did they find them?
And other items such. There may be safety concerns on the property and other things in risk, and so it certainly would need to be cleaned up. But this property has been identified by our forestry department as essential, as they have an easement to get to forestry property behind it.
No.
Commissioner DeYoung, hello.
Hi.
So,
we were in further discussion.
Correct. We made a motion to accept the property from Ms. Nordstrom. Yes.
Yeah, we discussed it before.
It came before us a couple weeks ago. We agreed to take it. This is the one that Streeter took us to up on Coyote Creek. Yeah.
Sure, we want it. You want it, you get all of it.
Are we purchasing a front loader as well?
Can we just take from the dirt down? Let somebody else get the dirt out?
Is there a learn to burn in the future?
Oh, my.
Yeah, I think Augustus is going to want a field trip on some of these just for the
I
fun of it.
I really honestly do.
Yeah? I do. No, I think it'd be
you
beneficial.
Should, yeah.
Oh, my.
I've seen a couple properties, but not this one. But I'd like to see this one.
It's interesting.
That.
Yeah. Well, is it not been vacated yet?
At this point, there are. I believe that there are individuals staying on the property, so we would need to initiate evictions proceedings.
Are you asking us to give permission for that today, or will that come back?
That'll come back later.
Okay. So at this time, we have a motion and a second to accept the property. Any further discussion needed?
No.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries 3-0. Item number two is land use enforcement cases update. Is this is not what's in the executive session, though.
This is
the file in the packet with all the properties, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Correct. I'm a little bit overdue, forgive me, to give the board an update as to where my caseload is as it pertains to some of the code enforcement cases. And unfortunately, this document is already obsolete. We actually received another judgment, so that brings my current open cases to 2, current closed cases to 11, and dismissed cases in 2019 to 4. The open cases, those are really just... I'm working with the owners or the banks that are the owners of the property to facilitate cleanup. Mm-hmm. So far this year, I've closed 11 matters, all of which have resulted in some form of a judgment that either appoints the county as receiver for the property and allowing us to take the property over for an allotted time to enter into contracts to clean up the property, or a judgment that closes a property entirely for one full calendar year. Notable judgments include the Hank Allen property at 340 Murphy Creek Road. 108 Cricket Lane.
340, is that the one we've always had?
380.
Trouble with?
Yeah, yes. Okay. Yeah. That one's been a problem for the last 3-4 years, from my understanding.
It's standing boarded up right now, huh?
Yes, yeah. Correct. But I'm willing to field questions about the closed cases. All of those have judgments, as I said.
So the courts ruled in our favor, but then you worked with the property owners or the realtors to get them cleaned up directly?
So the way that it works, if we obtain a judgment, the judgment is obtained either from through settlement, or it's obtained because through default or after a hearing. So typically, if we get a judgment by default, that means that the county is going to be the one responsible for facilitating these cleanups. There are a couple circumstances where we've settled with some property owners, allowing them to stay on the property while we come on and we come and evict people that they may not want there because they're unable to or unwilling to. While we clean the property and ultimately place a lien on it. There are circumstances that where a bank might be the owner of a particular property, and instead of filing a receivership lawsuit to take the property away from the bank, we found that it's a lot easier and a lot smoother to put pressure on the bank or put pressure on the entity that may own the property so that they move forward with the cleanup process faster. And I've seen that in a couple of my cases, especially with 190 East Rosewood and 4461 Fish Hatchery.
I realize one of the a disassociation for me on the updates is we've never seen the names involved. Mm-hmm. So they've always been by address for us before. So now it's like, okay, which address was this? Which one is, you know, some of them have it. But...
You'll have to forgive me, Commissioner. I'm sorry. I'm sorry about that. I should put the addresses in for you.
I totally understand, because mm-hmm. when you file in court, it changes how you file. You don't file against a property. You file against a name. So that makes sense how they're organized that way. But I realized mm-hmm. for me, I had it was a, okay, I got to get my mind around this. I was just looking at the last one. I started at the bottom, worked up. As mm-hmm. I realized I move forward, they do have addresses in them. So it's not all there. But I'm like... what's this association? But I can't even imagine the amount of work that you put into these. And the follow-up, it's not just straightforward, go to court and it's done.
No.
And so it's, I'd be curious if we ever do a quarterly update with legal about time in each of the divisions and mm-hmm. the amount of time, you know, it's
personnel
like...
personnel hours?
Yeah, just mm-hmm. how...
But it's also weighty matters. It's not like we're talking policy. Mm-hmm. Or defense of an idea. We're talking people's personal property and their lives.
We're talking people's personal property and their livelihood and making them homeless in some situations, mm-hmm. which is very,
very tough.
Very
so thank
difficult.
You for that.
But I have to credit Pat, Denise, code enforcement, Wally, and Leah for giving me the support that I need. They've been very helpful throughout this entire process.
Good.
Where would you guys like to go next on this, or any of them you'd like to discuss? Or?
Just an update.
Well, good job. Okay.
I think I need processing time. And if I have some questions, I'll follow up with you individually.
I'd be very happy to answer those questions.
And but no, I appreciate this. It's just the amount of work is just incredible. And when you see the faces or hear the voices behind it, I don't. Well, thank you. I just don't want to rush off of this before you guys have had a chance to fully digest what you'd like. I appreciate that some have been dismissed because they were successful. Correct? The four at the
That's
end?
Correct.
Yeah, I do like the big 10 by the closed spaces. And I think the community is starting to see that we're all doing something. Whereas it used to be, what are we going to do? And why aren't you doing something? But now we're seeing evidence. I've gotten a few thanks.
I think as you move along and these properties start to be cleaned up, like I said, I think we started a long time ago with, you're next. Mm-hmm. You know, some mm-hmm. of the properties are, you're next. You know, and then they maybe hopefully voluntarily get started on, or at least do something.
Yeah, for
I'm just came back from Selma, so I'm. This is great, boy.
It's any direction you head. This is the not just
drop in the proverbial bucket. Yep. Oh my gosh! But
we're working on
here. So this is a controversial subject. In our community, personal property rights is highly valued. I mean, this is the back to our United States Constitution of ability of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, and that ability to be a landowner and that ability to have your own claim. And so then we have the government coming in and telling people how to take care of their property. And so it is quite a balance of how do we, I mean, for the most part, we've been focusing on health and human safety.
In all cases, we've been dealing with the most egregious cases that involve health and human safety. Really, we're not talking about minor permit violations or anything like that. We're talking about compounds where a bunch of people are living in RVs, where there's solid waste strewn across the ground everywhere. As I'm working through these cases, I am trying to be cognizant of the sort of conditions that people are living in and the circumstances that they have. At times, you know, legal and code enforcement have strived to work with these people as much as possible. And these closed lawsuits are not fully representative of the type of work that we do in trying to get people to voluntarily comply with the code enforcement and planning department. And what we've seen is that because we have started to knock some of these cases down, we're starting to see a little bit more voluntary compliance from property owners before these matters go to legal.
These are the culmination of every other kind of avenue you can take, and then there's nothing left.
Lawsuits initiated by our office are a last resort.
It's left.
If we can help it, we try not to initiate lawsuits, just because it's burdensome. But lawsuits of this sort are regarded as a last resort.
So I guess, in my mind, I would be curious, is it appropriate to have the conversation at some point? Is what we're doing effective? Is what we're doing the focus in the right areas? Is there more that needs to be done? And is our policy where it needs to be? Or does things, you know, there, the great controversy years ago was, seven years ago, was the four nuisance ordinances. And unfortunately, they weren't refined in a way that actually took into account, I don't know all the issues of them. I just know that they were resoundingly not supported by our community. But then we resoundingly get feedback of saying, can you help with this, but also protect these property rights? When we're facing the marijuana complaints or the cannabis complaints or the this and this and that, it wasn't necessarily the plants so much it was the code enforcement of the properties. With what you're dealing with and enough, yes ma'am?
I was just gonna say with those four ordinances and perhaps narrowing them down or something, as my recollection is that there was a lot of pushback on the hearings officer aspect of
okay.
it. And so I think that if we just focused on one ordinance, such as just the solid waste ordinance, mm-hmm. what constitutes solid waste, so forth, if we just did one, it might be more receptive.
Well, and I guess that's where I was kind of going with this in a long runabout way. Are there any recommendations that we need to address? And it's been suggested to me, we didn't need to spend a year on a marijuana ordinance in 2017 if we had just enforced the code. Okay, well, I think that things have calmed down quite a bit from the complaints we're getting based on what's the outcome. So I don't know if what we have is what it should have been. But in the pure view of the code enforcement and the amount of time staff is spending and getting to court, are we in the right place? Are things needing to be backed off from, or are other things need to be pushed further? And is there I don't think probably it's easy to say there's not enough staff to get to everything that's coming in. So it's always a prioritization. But We recently talked about a different topic that was about ATVs on public roadways. Well, we don't have sheriff's patrol to keep safe people 24/7 patrol, and we don't have the ability to enforce noise ordinance at night. So now we're back to code enforcement here, and is our code where it needs to be, and it's just a matter of having enough people to enforce, or is there things that need to be edited in our code to be better? And I might make you come sit up here with me, Leah, because then they can hear you on the recording.
I think the solid waste ordinance, solid waste and nuisance abatement ordinance, could be updated. It was drafted back in 1989, okay. And I think it could be revisited.
I know that our BLM deputy had recommended that we look at Jackson County's language, yes, that an individual is responsible for their mail and their property all the way to the dump, so that if they come across something on public lands that has your name on it, it's your responsibility because it didn't make itself to the dump. And, you know, there's mitigation for, well, I didn't leave there. Well, you can clean it up real quick and go take care of it in a legal manner, or you're going to face the fine of us having to clean it up for you. But I know Jackson County has that ability, because right now our deputy has felt frustrated that he finds stuff, even with names on it, there's nothing he can do with that, or holding people accountable to solid waste disposal. So anyhow, I guess...
Seems pretty logical. We should look at that.
Well, and I just wonder, I mean, because we started this program. I mean, we've built this from the ground up in the last year or so, as far as having extra staff to help what you guys were already trying to do. And there were many years of no enforcement. And so when do we pause and have that conversation of evaluation of, are we in a good spot? What should still be tweaked, and where do we go? And I don't know. I don't know when the right time is, but I think that we've been into it long enough, and you guys are getting patterns going that you can start to give advice on that kind of stuff.
If I were to kind of think about it, I think going through the end of this calendar year, kind of like to see where we're at, legal and code enforcement mainly. Has some to do with staffing, at least in legal at the moment.
Well, yes, it does.
So I mean, that's I'm moving through an adequate amount of work. It would be a little, the circumstance would be a little bit different if we had one additional person. But there's really not too much that we can do about that at the moment. Another thing is, like Leah was saying, looking at updating the solid waste and nuisance abatement ordinance, and putting into effect an unsafe structures ordinance. And Mr. Stevenson and I have been working on that for some time. But I think that's a discussion for a future meeting.
Sure.
Yeah.
I just want to be mindful that as we get these updates, that we also are learning from what our experiences are and how things are working well or not, and if that makes sense. I don't want to burn you out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's. I don't want to burn our staff out either. And
too late.
I just want to burn Dan out. No, I'm just kidding.
You can't burn me out.
Nope.
I'm already burnt out. I like your pump the brakes a little bit till the end of the year. Mm-hmm. Then I'll give time to answer any questions that Commissioner Morgan may have.
Until then, great job.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
True. This is one of those moments where something's come up in this meeting and we need to remember that we want to look at the solid waste ordinance. Mm-hmm. Someone has to remember.
Yeah. Well, and thanks for indulging the conversation with that. And I appreciate that we get the update and want to make sure that we're continuing this. As you remember, we use marijuana tax dollars to fund the code enforcement and Augustus's position. And so, you know, we directly have an outcome from the taxes we got from the state. And so, yes, sir.
What is that amount?
Just we keep bringing up all the good that the marijuana tax dollars is. There isn't that much of it to go around, that marijuana tax dollars is this, marijuana tax dollars. To the folks out there that are listening to that, it is, you're acting like, we are acting like it is the economic driver of Southern Oregon. Arthur gave me a deal that says, how much money do we get from marijuana? how much do we get from timber? And it is remarkable how little bit of money we get from marijuana.
Correct.
And we very rarely ever say anything about the timber industry and shared receipts and stuff. That's almost 8 times what we get from marijuana. But it's, oh, the marijuana tax dollars, and they did this, and the marijuana tax dollars, they did that. I don't like the sound of that, because then the marijuana people come in and say, told you, we're the one financing the whole county.
Now, we have 6 employees funded through marijuana.
We bring it up an awful lot.
I have, because I want to show that we are doing different things with monies other than just property tax. How are we funding these programs?
I don't want to sensationalize their contribution anymore than it already is. That's just something, it's my own, that grinds on me.
Okay.
A lot.
I appreciate that feedback. I think it's also important that some of these jobs we've created weren't because of increased property tax. They weren't because of, how do we fund programs that we need with the revenues that we have from alternate sources, and this is how we got creative with that.
Do you know that number?
I used to have a report. It's been a long time since we've gotten an update from Arthur on that.
Yeah.
And we had the first couple,
it must have flown by during budget season.
No, I don't think we heard it this year. I had a spreadsheet of how we were funding a lot of the juvenile stuff, and it's a little from here, a little from there kind of thing, and that's the last I saw it. But what I haven't seen is the consistent payments, and they hadn't got on a consistent payment with the marijuana tax dollars. So I think that's part of why we haven't got an update. We had an initial payout and then another payout.
Sporadic.
Yeah, it has been sporadic. So I think Arthur giving an update on it would be appropriate.
I think so too.
Because we also have some people that are paying to Eve downstairs.
Sure.
A different fund.
Yeah,
so we have 3 pools. We have the businesses paying directly to Eve, which is very small, maybe $60,000 a year. And there's...
What, business license, compliance certificates?
Straight tax.
It's just a straight tax?
Yeah, out of retail.
It was passed through a levy.
Dispensary,
no,
I guess.
Not a levy?
3%.
Our 3% tax.
Our 3 of the 17.
It's a sales tax, consumption tax on that.
Our
three on top.
Our local option.
That the city doesn't quite have yet?
Correct.
Yeah, that's the one.
That's why we're behind, I remember.
Yeah, the city, so this is our local tax, and then the mental health portions are funding the school outreach officers partially.
I'd like to see that.
Portion is funding a school resource officer, a code enforcement, and our property or
an attorney.
Attorney, but I was trying to think of what's your specialty area that we've assigned.
Land use.
There we go.
Gotcha.
So compared to the 12 to 14 million a year in shared receipts. No,
it is not. Compared to what they're getting on a dispensary in downtown Portland.
Mm.
it's very disproportionate.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so any other conversation on the land use enforcement cases update?
No.
Every once in a while, Denise comes in and gives us an update on the current ones as well. Is mm-hmm. that one you think coming anytime soon?
I'll have a conversation with her. She tends to have like actual PowerPoints of before and afters for properties. But I'll have a chat with her and see.
Curious.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. All right, well, next up is executive session. We have 3 items on the agenda for executive session. Item 3 is C&D Land and Trust versus Josephine County Assessor, Oregon Tax Court, case number 190178R under ORS 192-66028. Item 3B is County Rural Property on Coyote Creek Road, request for easement across county property under ORS 192-66028. Item 3C is offer to purchase County Rural Property under ORS 192-66028. Proof representatives of the news media and designated staff shall be allowed to attend the executive session. All other members of the audience are asked to leave the room. Approved representatives of the news media are specifically directed not to report on or otherwise disclose any of the deliberations or anything said about the subjects during the executive session, except to state the general subject of the session as previously announced. No decision may be made in executive session. At the end of executive session, we'll return to open session and welcome the audience back into the room. And the recorder will now be turned off at 2:26 p.m. All right, we're back in general session. We got an update on the three cases, and no decisions were made. We got more information that will be coming back. So number four is additional matters and subjects. I got clarification from the Association of Oregon Counties on the dues that we paid. First off, they sent the invoice in December 2018. It's due in January, but they understand some counties are on a fiscal year, so we traditionally pay in July. What they sent was no increases based on potential recommendations of proposed changes to dues, and this was not the back payment of road funds. This is purely our dues. And it is a substantial amount of money because there are some optional ones that we have sometimes paid and sometimes not. But the gist of them is our general dues are $14,812. Our public land fund dues is $5,622. There's an optional video lottery defense fund where we get a portion of lottery funds stuffed back to the county, about $1,035. Federal Land Management Subcommittee dues is $2,662. I bring that up because we just went through the process of giving you voting rights for Monday. You don't get a vote if we don't have our dues current. There's a PERS Alliance
really never
dues.
That close, so I won't decide anything.
There's a Council at Forest Trust Land Properties of $176. There's a Special Voluntary of $183. And the Veterans Fund due is $3,352, with a total of $29,283, including all the voluntary ones, of which I believe in the past we don't do the Veterans Fund, and I don't know that we do the PERS one. But we could make a, I thought we as a board had already voted on paying our dues as we usually do back in the day.
I don't remember that coming by since I got here.
Interesting. Okay.
But that doesn't mean it didn't happen.
Yeah.
I've missed a meeting or two.
So AOC is kind of in a big, like, what's going on, Josephine County, that we're in October and you haven't paid your dues that were invoiced 10, 11 months ago?
And even if we said we'd pay them on the fiscal year, that's gone by too.
Correct. Yeah. We
My
said
meeting's
we were
at 7 a.m.
To.
On Monday. You want me to bring a check?
Well,
Arthur?
I just want to verify. My recommendation would be that we pay our dues with the same ones we've opted to do in the past, not changing the voluntary ones that we've done in the past, unless you want
unless
us to take
on
Veterans Fund dues.
Yeah.
I don't. There is explanation here. So this all came to us a while back, but why it didn't get brought forward. But they want an answer of, are you going to pay your dues? And it has an impact on whether or not you get a vote on Monday. Yes, ma'am.
I spoke to Arthur. Arthur said that he will be paying them. He didn't show the most recent invoice. He did have a copy of the minutes back from December, but that was for the road money, the $19,000 that went to the road, but he didn't show anything for the new.
So we've already paid our back due of the road fund.
Right, correct.
We didn't pay our current.
Right, and he said he will pay that.
Okay.
So, and I let him know that it, we needed that by Monday for the voting rights.
Yeah, which everybody keeps talking about, but I don't care about.
Pay it by Monday for save the embarrassment. Okay. All those in favor of, and Darren, raise hand except for you.
Right, right.
Yeah. That's not good.
Any objection to us paying our dues?
No.
Okay, so we first support paying our dues. I will let them know we're paying our dues. And then the other one is, I just don't want us to forget, they asked us to partner on the census conversation. Was it you that
was
sending
it? It was me, and I'm dragging my feet.
Okay, sounds good.
Yep.
Then I won't bug you with anything further, so you can leave. Is there anything else, commissioners? All right, we are adjourned at 2:55.